I have for us a reading from the Peace Table, a storybook Bible. Another telling of the same story we just heard, because sometimes it's good to hear things in a bunch of different ways. It's entitled, Born in Bethlehem. In those days, Emperor Augustus sent out a decree that all people must return to their family's hometown to be counted. Joseph was from King David's family. He was engaged to Mary, and she was about to have a baby. The two of them set out from Nazareth to go to Bethlehem, to the city of David. They traveled for many days throughout Galilee, Samaria, and the hill country of Judea. Finally, they came to Bethlehem. The city was filled with other people who had also come there because of the emperor's decree. Mary and Joseph tried to find room in the guest room, but the house was so packed they had to stay with the animals just within the courtyard of the home. They could not find shelter. They could only find shelter in a place surrounded by family and the animals of the family. There, Mary gave birth to a son and named him Jesus. She wrapped him in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger. How do you all feel Mary might have felt on that long trip to Bethlehem?
Exhausted.
Scared. Nowadays, the same route takes you in and out of the West Bank and settler colonies and checkpoints and all kinds of different ways of having to travel. So I'm hoping that the travel was easier for Mary than it is for someone to do the same steps today. I know last year I did actually calculated it, but you never really know if they've got new checkpoints or not out there. Any other thoughts on how Mary might have felt?
Fear?
Anticipation? While I've never been 9 months pregnant, this is not a trip I would want to make. I would be angry at whatever prophet said that Jesus had to be born in the city of Bethlehem. Whoever's idea that was, I would be very livid with. Right? Or if, you know, Emperor Augustus, I would be swearing his name every other step. Yeah, so that is the beauty of this situation, where like a God that decides to come down in the midst of the mess of things is really powerful. So let me sit our Bible down. And let us pray. God, we are so grateful for your servant Mary, who not only resoundingly said yes to the wildest request she had ever heard from an angel, and probably the only request she ever got from an angel, but that she took the time to bear your son, to be the bearer of God in this world was certainly an uneasy task, and so we are grateful for the work that you did through Mary in bringing Jesus into our world so that we can understand your ways better. So may the Spirit that guided Mary on that journey be with us in this moment. May we notice your guidance as we gather together to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Amen. Genesis 1 begins, when God began to create the heavens and the earth. And we find from Proverbs 8 that wisdom was there. Wisdom was beside him as a master of crafts. She was having fun, smiling before him all the time, frolicking with his inhabited earth and delighting in the human race. Now, the Book of Wisdom, or the Wisdom of Solomon's another name for it, King Solomon begs God for wisdom's presence. He writes, "You have wisdom with you. She knows all your works. She was present with you when you were making the world. She knows what pleases you. She knows what someone needs to do to follow your commandments. Send her out to me from your holy heavens. Send her from your glorious throne so that she may labor with me here and that I may learn what is pleasing to you. She knows and understands everything. She'll guide me wisely in all that I do. Her great honor will guard me." Now John, at least the disciple who's attributed for writing the Gospel of John, called Lady Wisdom by another name. He writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life, and the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not extinguish the light." The Word, Lady Wisdom, stood alongside God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and saw the pain and suffering doled out to the most marginalized as the rich continued to get richer. And God knew it was time for one person of the Trinity to go down and do something, to teach God's people how to be God's kingdom on earth. So they chose a mother to be the one to birth God into the world, which I feel like is a strategic choice. If you're the creator of all things and you created Adam out of nothing and Eve out of a rib and some dust, Jesus could have just been teleported down like a scene from Star Trek, right? And yet, and maybe it's probably easier for someone to receive a savior that you watched get born, as opposed to one that just magically appears. If someone was beamed down in front of me, I'd probably be weary. But I think there's something really holy about choosing a mother. And we see with Mary, not just any mother, but a mother who knew what it meant to live under the oppression of the Roman Empire in the land of Roman Palestine. One who clung to God's promises and proclaimed the goodness of God. We have earlier in the Gospel of Luke, she proclaims, "Holy is his name. He shows mercy to everyone from one generation to the next, who honors him as God. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered those with arrogant thoughts and proud inclinations. He has pulled the powerful down from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed." So Mary was inspired by the same type of poem written by Hannah when she was begging for a child. It's interesting that we have not only just a random woman that's available, but a good Jew that knows her text so well that poetry springs out of her that's similar to the same words that her ancestors used to proclaim the goodness of God and what God was up to. It is this God, Wisdom, the Word made flesh, who moved into our neighborhood, which is how Eugene Peterson translates the John text. He shows up in a house so packed that he's born with the household animals, kind of the modern equivalent if you had to get the air bed out and you're surrounded by the dogs and the cats because they don't have anywhere else to go, and so your alarm clock is a wet tongue that you weren't ready for. So this God became present alongside our suffering and modeled a new way of being in the world. Or really a renewed way of being in the world. A way that was consistent with all the ways that God had been proclaiming to God's people throughout their time. Jesus embodied God's love first as a baby, which is important because God did not choose to enter into the world as a powerful king who ruled through violence. And this era had no shortage of that type of king. But unto us a child is born who will embody God's work of liberating love in ways that we will continue to strive and to embody as a gathered community for thousands of years. For it is in this child named Jesus that God became flesh so that we can become God enfleshed for all of those whom we encounter, so that all may know the goodness of God and the love of God that is closer to us than our own breath, our own skin, and so that we can transform the world to be bearers of God's hope, peace, joy, and love. So let us pray. God, the way that you show up matters. And while there are so many times when our broken hearts wish you would show up as one who would just use your power to smite those against you and topple systems of oppression in order to make it so that all may live, we see in Jesus that your ways are not embodied through violence, but instead through relational love, through transformational love that shows up on the ground and works to model a new way of being, one that you have been trying to tell your people for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And so may we be inspired by this baby, by your presence that shows up in relational ways that are unexpected, that can bring transformation to the world that only, in a way that only love can do, so that we can then love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously.